Thank you, Mark. I remember that day. Thank you for putting this together. Thank all of you for coming out on a snowy evening. What I'm going to do is a number of things, so let's hope that it works. Last October, I had the pleasure of working with Ruby Dee, Nikki Giovanni, and Novella Nelson, Joanne Gabbin, and many other great women to put together a project that will come out as a book, a CD, and a DVD. And I felt so honored to be a part of it. So here's some of the poems. I don't know who wrote them, but I thought they would be appropriate to read tonight. So I'm just going to read some of them for you. And this first one is called I Am a Mirror. And this is a poem to honor these great women. And it's also a poem to think about, for us to remember that today is the 20th anniversary of the freedom of Nelson Mandela. So thank you. I am a mirror. I reflect the grace of my mother, the tenacity of my grandmother, the patience of my grandfather, the sweat of my great-grandmother, the hope of my great-grandfather, the songs of my ancestors, the prayers of those on auction blocks, the bravery of those on Middle Passage. I reflect the strength of my people, and for that alone, I am loved. I think this is very appropriate. It's called a summer love poem. We can all visualize a little summer right now. A summer love poem. Clouds float by on a summer sky. I hopscotch over to you. Rainbows arch from ground to gold. I climb over to you. Thunder grumbles, lightning thunders, and I bounce over to you. Sun beams back and catches me smiling over at you. It's a poem of friendship and of love, of course. We're not lovers because of the love we make, because of the love we have. We're not friends because of the laughs we spend, but because of the tears we save. I don't want to be near you for the thoughts we share, but for the words we never have to speak. I will never miss you because of what we do, but for what we have together. And here's one called, And I Have You. Rain has drops, sun has shone, moon has beams, that makes you mine. Rivers have banks, sands for shores, hearts for heartaches, that makes you me yours. Needles for eyes, though pins may prick, Elma has glue to make things stick. Winter has spring, stock and feet, pepper has mint to make it sweet. Teachers have lessons, soup du jour, lawyers soothe bad folks, doctors cure. All in all, this I know is true. You have me and I have you. This is You Were There, sort of fast forward, I guess, into the future of old age. I shall save my poems for the winter of my dreams. I look forward to huddling in my rocker with my life. I wonder what I contemplate. Lovers, certainly, those I can remember. And knowing my life, you'll be there. You'll be there in the cold, like a Siamese on my knee, proud, purring, when you let me stroke you. You'll let me be there in the rain, like an umbrella over my head, sheltering me from the damp mist. You'll be there in the dark, like a lighthouse in the fog, seeing me through the troubled waters. You'll be there in the sun, like a coconut oil on my back to keep me from burning. I shall save a special poem for you to say. You always made me smile, even though I cried sometimes. You said, I'll never let you down. My rocker and I on winter's porch will never be sad if you're gone. The winter's cold has been stored against, and you'll always be there. This is one of my favorite poems. This is a Nikki Giovanni poem. I actually have it in a book. It's called What It Is. If it's a trail, we can hike it. If it has two wheels, we can bike it. If it's an allergy, we can sneeze it. If it's a pimple, we can squeeze it. If it's dew, it covers Dixie. If it's Tinkerbell, it's Pixie. If it's a breeze, it can blow us. If it's the sun, it can know us. If it's a song, we can sing it. If it flies, we can wing it. If it's a soda pop, then it's drinkable. It might be X-rated, but that's unthinkable. If it's a boat, we can sail it. If it's a letter, we can mail it. If it's a star, we can let it shine. If it's the moon, it can make you mine. If it's grass, we can rake it. If it's free, why not take it? If it's a tide, it can ebb. If it's a spider, it can web. If it's chocolate, we can dip it. If it's a golf ball, we can chip it. If it's gum, we can chew it. I hope it's love so we can do it. about 12 years ago, I wrote a little essay called Come and Be Black for Me. So this is Valentine's Day, but Valentine's reading, but it's also Black History Month. So this little poem, little narrative, whatever we want to call it, essay poem, became the little essay that would. I think it's been published more than 100 times. And every Black History Month, I get a phone call from some new reporter at a newspaper wanting to interview me about the essay. So I decided, some of you may have heard it. Anyway, if you have, I hope you like it again. If you haven't, I hope you enjoy it. The other day, I turned on my computer and booted up to thatminoritything.com, which is an online journal, and they had it as their feature story, and I thought that was really funny. And nobody never asked me; they just keeps circulating around. I never get any money, but anyway, that's okay. So I thought I'd share that a little bit with you tonight. I dread January and February. January is Martin Luther King's birthday month, and February is Black History Month. And it is those 6 weeks that everyone is looking for me, or rather someone, to come and be black for them. My telephone rings. A pleasant woman from the Arts Council needs someone to attend her luncheon book club. One of my colleagues, whom I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, gave her my phone number. Her group is thinking of including a black writer on her reading list next year. She knows that I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesday is the day of her luncheon. I thank her and accept the pleasant invitation. It doesn't conflict with my calendar. I can be black on Wednesday. The telephone rings again. A student from last semester wants to talk to me about her grade. I tell her my office hours and thank her for calling. Someone knocks on my door. A white male graduate student wants me to be a member of his thesis committee. A portion of his writing will be on the impact of African-American women writers on contemporary American literature. He's a good student. I accept and thank him for coming. I want to know when I can expect some of his work to begin reading. Someone knocks on my door again. An African-American female decided she can't decide if she's angry with me or not. Last semester, I thought she was being self-righteous when she screamed at me in class for selecting a novel whose protagonist, a black man, was married to a white woman. I asked her who made her God of Blackness. I don't think I apologize. She wants to talk to me about what to do with the rest of her life. I suggest she improves her grades. She leaves before I can thank her for coming. The telephone rings. Someone is soliciting for money from the United Way. I tell her that I gave already. My mail is dwindling, two more baskets. I start a pile of work for photocopying. In this stack of mail, three students have asked me to write letters of recommendation for graduate school, and five more organizations have submitted requests for me to come and be black for them. I'm getting hungry, but it's too much trouble to go outside in the rain for lunch. I take a break and eat an apple and two rice cakes. I can't find any more food in my office. I continue to sort my mail. Two reject letters for two of my essays are hidden in junk mail. I'm disappointed. I'll decide what to do later. The telephone rings again. Wrong number. Someone knocks on my door. Two white students, male and female, from last semester. He, since the male speaks for the female, liked my class very much, but they thought they could offer me some advice to make it even better in the future. So he tells me that the black kids were annoying. All four of them talked all the time, and they had the nerve to sit together. The student tells me that it was just so annoying. I point out to him that all 30 of the white students sit together. They leave before I can thank them for coming. Someone knocks on my door. It's a colleague whose office is down the hall. He calls himself a folklore. He wants me to know that he wants me to come and be black for his group, even if it's in the month of March. He says he's sensitive to how I get exploited during Black History Month, but I should be thankful I could be like him and never get exploited. I thank him for coming, but decline his offer. I go to the bathroom, then I go downstairs to make photocopies and drop off some mail. The staff gives me candy. I'm glad. My rice cakes and apple lunch has left me hungry. After the candy, I go back to my office and drink a bottle of water. The telephone rings. The bookstore tells me that two of my required texts are out of print and due to be re-released next semester. I tell him that I'll get back with substitutes. I'll have to rethink my syllabus. When I first started teaching, I would begin my classes by telling my students how difficult it was to get some of my textbooks. I asked what they thought about that. I stopped raising that issue when students wrote on my evaluations that they thought I should get books that they could get, and it was my responsibility to do a better job. Someone knocks on my door. A white male student with a long red ponytail wants to bow to me for the rest of his natural life. I gave him a copy of Toni Morrison's Sula last semester. Since that time, he has read all of Morrison's novels. I tell him he has discovered one of America's greatest writers. I like him now that he knows that I'll only talk literature. I thank him for coming. Someone knocks on my door. An African-American female wants to know why I always pick novels that make the brothers look bad. Novels like Alice Walker's Third Life of Grange Copeland. I tell her that I'm sure Miss Walker didn't have her brothers in mind when she wrote the novel. I thank her for coming. My telephone rings. Another request to come and speak. I decline. It's a conflict. I file some more papers. I find a box of old raisins. I eat them anyway, and I drink another bottle of water. Someone knocks on my door. A friendly colleague and I exchange holiday stories and gossip about the latest divorce in the department. Someone knocks on my door. Two African-American male students from last semester tell me they didn't appreciate me calling Brother Mike a criminal in class. I point out to them that technically Mike Tyson is a criminal. I thank them for coming. The telephone rings. The audiovisual division of the library has just received Roots, the Next Generation. I could expect the original Roots any time now. I thank the caller. Someone knocks on my door. It's another colleague, white male, who's fascinated with Africa and wants me to know that if I have any interest in seeing my homeland, he's the man to get me there. I tell him that Alabama is my homeland. He leaves before I can thank him for coming. The telephone rings. One of the staff members wants to know which graduate faculty committee will I serve on. I'd forgotten to turn my form in. I apologize and ask her which one of the committees meets the least. She tells me, and I agree to serve on that committee. Someone knocks on my door. A white female returns books of poetry, Gwendolyn Brooks, Lucille Clifton, and Nikki Giovanni. She enjoyed them and wants to borrow more. I point to the poetry section of my library. Someone knocks on my door. An African-American female from two semesters ago wants me to write a letter of recommendation for her. She's applying for jobs. I ask her if she's considered graduate school since she's such a good student. She says not now. She's tired of school. She wants to live in a city. I ask her to drop off her resume and addresses and to send me, to send a letter, and I wish her well. My telephone rings. Another student from last semester didn't receive a grade. I check my records and tell the student that I turned in a grade. But if she wants me to call records and admissions, I'll be happy to. She said she would get with her advisor. Someone knocks on my door. A white male student wants me to write a letter of recommendation. I point out to him that he received a C minus in my class. He tells me that was the best grade he got. I ask him, what does he want me to say? He leaves before I thank him for coming. In my mail, there are five other requests for me to come and speak. I check my calendar. I accept two. I stack all of the textbook catalogs in a pile. I go to the bathroom and wash my face in cold water. Someone knocks on my door. An African-American male student wants to know why I taught a novel like Giovanni's Room. I tell him that James Baldwin is one of the most important writers of our time, and I know of no other book written with more dignity and honesty. The student tells me teaching books about homosexuality should be against the law. I tell him we're better for reading Giovanni's Room. He leaves before I can thank him for coming. Someone knocks on my door. A white male wants a list of all the books that I'll be teaching in the spring. He tells me that everyone in his family is a racist, and my class was his first opportunity to learn about blacks. I tell him that I'm glad he's learning. I give him the list and thank him for coming. Someone knocks on my door, an African-American female from 2 years ago, who owes me a paper still, wants me to know that she's happy I'm on the faculty. She identifies with me since I embrace feminism and remain a real sister. I tell her that the way I dress and wear my hair is purely fashion. I want to know when I can expect her paper. She says soon and leaves before I can thank her for coming. Someone knocks on my door. My chair wants me to be part of a new task force on diversity. I accept and thank him for thinking of me. I have to get home. It's the beginning of Come and Be Black for Me season, and I need my rest. Thank you.